Hello and welcome to the Mixed Media Audio Zine with DJ Frederick. Mixed Media Audio Zine is a monthly radio show about the underground and small press publishing and new indie music. It's a blend of paper culture and radio. Mixed Media is about DIY publishing, taking a look at homemade publications in the digital age. Blogs can be deleted. Paper has an archival quality that will be read for decades to come. And making a zine is a hands-on act of creation, putting your work out into the tangible world to share with others. I'd like to start this edition of Mixed Media Audio Zine with a review of some new music by The Taxpayers, written by Carson Winters from DyingScene.com. The Taxpayers are everything modern punk should be, a merging of chaos, melody, and intelligent lyricism that recklessly claws at divinity. God forbid these bastards. Songs from the Forgotten Life of Henry Turner is without doubt The Taxpayers' best work to date, but more so, it throws down the gauntlet to their peers. This is how good punk can be, and this is how good punk should be. God Forgive These Bastards is a concept album that follows Henry Turner, a man who goes from a promising future in baseball to a homeless storyteller riding the buses of Portland, Oregon. While concept albums have ambition to spare, they usually fail in their execution. Either the story suffers at the hand of forced songs, or the songs are too vague to hold the structure of the story within them. However, the songs on God Forgive These Bastards are brilliant, snapshots of a man's life set fervently to music. But what makes the record even more exciting is a companion piece, a biographical zine written from the perspective of Henry Turner himself, authored by Taxpayer vocalist guitarist Rob Morton. While the album works perfectly on its own, the zine exists to contextualize it. Having listened to the album first, its literary counterpart acts as the dialogue between musical numbers, enriching the songs without becoming a crutch. The album begins with the sporadic bursts of a horn section, lending the opening of And the Sun Beats Down, a jazzy atmospheric number that eventually transforms into a more conventional guitar and bass setup. But as a verse ends the song, once again it blasts full force into a chaotic horn melee.
When the fight broke on Brighton Road, traffic stopped. Some old men hit the pavement and they ushered in the cops. And the camera crews arrived and people gathered all around. As the sun beat down, as the sun beat down. Both a lift, headed for the hospital, that big one downtown. As the sun beat down, as the sun beat down. Something died inside the sweltering garage. A sacrificial lamb in honor of the heat, yeah. August 23rd, 1959. Got word from the nurse there hadn't been enough time. A screaming baby boy now slept without a sound as the sun beat down.
As the Sun Beat Down by the Taxpayers from their new LP, God Forgive These Bastards. I'm reading a review by Carson Winters of God Forgive These Bastards from DyingScene.com. The lyrical content of God Forgive These Bastards is top-tier stuff. The opening couplet of The Businessman manages to not only twist a rhyme into a meaningful set of words, but also satisfy the rhythm's lilting cadence. God, it never got easy, but it sure got good when the businessman came to my adopted neighborhood. It's no secret that rhymes are pleasing to the ear, but to tell a story with them is no easy task, making it all the more impressive to hear the taxpayers' tight rhymes unravel into story. I Love You Like an Alcoholic is in the style of the taxpayers' folkier material and is one of the strongest songs of the album, effectively slowing the pace for a little introspection. But to say one song is better than another is really a disservice to the consistently excellent songwriting displayed throughout. An album like this, it doesn't have any bad songs. On two occasions, we are given interviews instead of songs that relate to Henry Turner's past. While some listeners may be disappointed with these tracks, they provide the necessary anecdotal evidence to bring further depth to Henry Turner's story. It's important to note, however, that the existence of Turner is still up for debate. Besides the information provided from the taxpayers, I haven't been able to find anything that confirms or denies his existence. But at the end of the day, the story isn't about documentation. Henry Turner may or may not exist, but that doesn't make his story any less poignant. The taxpayers are pushing punk forward without lapsing into pretentious inaccessibility. Their music is fast, loud, and hard, but it's also smart, passionate, and honest. God Forgive These Bastards deserves not only to be heard, but to be respected.
Corner. fingers brush your hand. I blushed, you laughed, but you seemed a little sad. I ain't one to jump a ship, but I absolutely knew I was six steps in when I fell into you.
One last kiss, I love you like a broken pot. One last kiss,
I love you like a pack of dogs.
One last kiss, I need you like I need a gaping head wound. One last kiss, I love you like an alcoholic. One last kiss,
I love you like a negligee.
One last kiss, I need you like I need a broken leg.
Taxpayers, I Love You Like an Alcoholic, from the brand new CD and zine, God Forgive These Bastards. You're listening to the Mixed Media Audio Zine Summer 2012 edition. I'd like to read a couple of pieces by Shay from the zine Like Lightning. And for more information, you can contact Shay at peel_the_moon@hotmail.com. Or check out the blog dearwassily.tumblr.com. This is titled On First Steps. If we spend October evenings spinning on the old tire swing, can you blame us? The days grow shorter. It smells like summer in Pennsylvania. Smells like green, skinned knees, sun seeds, believing that silly act we've since outgrown. We now call ourselves skeptics, not doubters. We're more sophisticated than that. Without gall, guileless, it's easy to question than to take a stand. This we don't mention. Instead, parrot Diderot. First step toward truth. Are we taking? But asking a question does not guarantee an answer. First step toward the last one we took. And here's a piece from Like Lightning called On Brutal Dichotomies. The only thing I can do, am meant to do, is follow my heart. My heart is the one thing I can, at times, trust. As soon as the mind sashays into the room, confusion ensues. The mind turns and twists and wants to hold more than it has, and can confound, convince, debate, not decision is its best suit. The heart decides. It pushes the pieces into the wet cement for presentation and posterity. Be rational, they tell me, but whose mind holds only one thing? The mind that is not a mind, but a heart. A need for rationality is another form of emotion, a desire, much like how atheism is just as much a belief system as any religion. The mind thinks, but the heart knows.
Cows were falling asleep. There was no heart to keep. You looked at me with eyes made of corn.
On the day when we were born.
Cows were eating their grass. no heart of glass. You saw me from the corner of your eye.
On the day the leaves were dry, on the day the leaves were dry.
Cows were falling around. There was no leaf to sound. The corn you ate was living inside.
On the day we thought to hide, on the day we thought to hide.
Snowcaps with a song called Fields from A Cure for the Brokenhearted, an Edible Onion compilation. For more information, check out edibleonion.com. This is DJ Frederick, and you're listening to the Mixed Media Audio Zine for summer 2012. I'd like to do a reading from a literary zine called Modicum, which was edited by Joseph Carlo. This is a piece by Claire Black called Granny Betty's Imagination. Granny Betty held a seashell up to my ears and told me to listen. Weird, for two reasons. One, I don't know where she got this shell. We lived miles from the coast, and because of her wonky hips, she never went further than the corner shop. Two, I didn't want to listen to a shell. I wanted mostly to look at it and to hold it. It was one of those curly ones you can't see all the way into. Nice and smooth on the inside, but rough and scrapey on the outside. Stripey. Granny Betty insisted, "Hold it close and listen." She looked at me, her eyes all sparkly. One, excitement. Two, lilac eyeshadow. "You can hear the sea if you listen hard enough," she said. I listened really hard. It would have been fun to sit in Granny Betty's front room, miles and miles from the sea, and listen to the waves lapping the beach, but I could not hear the sea. I could not hear the waves. I had got very good ears, so believe me when I tell you, there was no noise inside that shell. Hey, yeah, you. There was no noise inside that shell. Granny Betty seemed disappointed. She said all I needed was a bit of imagination. All you need is a bit of imagination, she said, and she put the shell back on her mantelpiece. I didn't have any imagination at all, but as luck would have it, I knew where she kept hers, so when she wasn't looking, I took a bit, the tiniest bit you can imagine. One, I didn't want her to notice that I'd used even any, though she was the one who told me that I needed some. And two, a tiny bit of imagination can go a very long way. I listened again. Sometimes listening works better with your eyes closed. Inside that shell, Granny Betty's curly shell, I heard the sea. The waves were rolling in, washing the shore, and sliding away. Just in time for the next, and the next, and the next. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Hazel Pine. I write the zine Cursive Bomb, and this piece is about a workshop I went to at the Portland Zine Symposium this last year in 2006, and it's from issue number 5 of Cursive Bomb. In the Radical Mental Health Workshop in Portland, we sat in a circle. There were at least 30 of us, and I looked around and wondered if every person in the room thought that they were crazy. How did they define crazy anyway? Crazy is the multiple meanings of something amazing and scary. It's an identity that some have claimed as an alternative to the sickly phrase mental illness. It's watered down and sick. I had decided that I wasn't, that I don't call myself crazy because I pass. I'm fairly clean and I socialize well and I don't have visible scars, so my sanity is something already assumed. I also don't because I do trust my brain to keep my body safe, others safe. It doesn't lead me too far off course. I had just finished my winter of antidepressants, mostly successful, definitely boring, and that's why I was here. We did an exercise where we got in pairs and stared into each other's faces for 2 full minutes. We couldn't look away, but we could shut our eyes if we needed to. I still remember the chipped front tooth of the girl with purple hair who was wearing all unicorns. It made me incredibly anxious and in love with each person I stared at, and then I had to close my eyes to laugh. We closed our eyes and walked about, hands down, unprotected. At the end of the fumbling, we were instructed to hug. We found the body nearest and held it. I got boys with lanky bones and thought about how I was glad that they were hugging me with my fat. We did this twice and squeezed harder each time. In the end, we all huddled together. Group hug makes me think of campfires and sarcasm. But all it felt like was a basement show, where you're half drunk and delirious about the band, and you hardly know anybody there, but it's okay. You nestle up to people because it's okay, just trying to get closer, just trying to see. It was a basement show quieted into a blur of breathing, the same tangle of touching, the same sense of community, but we had no excuse and could only admit we liked being here, swaying in mass.
Like something that seeks its level, I wanna go to the devil, wanna be evil, I wanna spit tax, I wanna be evil and cheat at jacks. I wanna be wicked.
Hello, my name is Neely Bat Chestnut, and I do a zine called Mend My Dress. I'll be reading from issue 2. The Old House. My first memory takes place here, my father and mother fighting, my father walking outside to smoke. I was held in his arms, and I can recall him saying that he would leave, but not without me. Later, when I was around 4, I would sit in a chair or walk around and around the small living room, mostly alone. I felt like I owned that house. I would daydream, hoping that my mother would die and the house would be left to me. I was born there, and it only seemed fair that I could die there too. I think living in the house where I was born made death seem all the more closer. My grandmother died in my childhood bedroom, but that was long before I ever came around. When I was in grade school, I thought of all the sorts of ways that she had met her death. All I was told was that she had died too young. I pictured my grandfather, crazy with sadness, burning her clothes and sending the ashes out to sea in a sailboat. The old house was built by his family, sometime in the very last bit of the 19th century. Marble countertops, no heat, save the tiny stove in the living room. The house had vines and blackberries under the front door. The bottom half was totally rotted away, so we just used the back door. There was a ballroom with huge oil paintings of the old dead family, and a grand piano with termites and beetles living in it, feeding on the rotting ivory. A stuffed crab in the entryway, stained glass of dragons. Sometimes sand would come out of the drains, sometimes frogs. It was always cold. Once I fell into the stove, burning my arm, cooking it, leaving a sheet of skin behind. Our grandfather sold the house and we had to move. I was in second grade and I didn't understand. I hated the rich family from California that were buying the place only to tear it down. I watched my beloved home turn into a pile of scrap, watched the rooms be burned. I miss the house. When I was younger, I always wanted to build a house just like it. Follow the plans, making everything just so. But with myself aging, I understand that the things that made the house so wonderful cannot be faked. Age and neglect only work that sort of magic.
Thank you. doesn't matter. It all makes sense, for all I know it's the same thing that has come, that will go. I tried to speak up. Most of the time I was mastered by a joke, but inspiration took a break and I choked. I said I'd give an eye for you, but that was just a lie. I said I'd be the catcher in the rye for you, but that was just a lie. I said I'd fight and die for you, but that was just a lie. I said I'd steal the sun from the sky for you, but that was just a lie. I just closed my eyes for you. It's just a cycle. Didn't we all find out long ago? From Hemingway to crystals, from the sun to Chardet. It doesn't matter, it all makes sense, for all I know those starry eyes will listen till the waves reach the coast. I said I'd give an eye for you, but that was just a lie. I said I'd be the catcher in the rye for you, but that was just a lie. I said I'd fight and die for you, but that was just a lie. I said I'd steal the sun from the sky for you, but that was just a lie. I just closed my eyes, I only closed my eyes, I just closed my eyes for you.
Azure Blue with a song called Catcher in the Rye. Well, this is DJ Frederick, and you've been listening to the Mixed Media Audio Zine for summer 2012. You can check out my blog at zinereviews.blogspot.com. Or you can email FMOE Frederick Michael Oscar Echo at colby-sawyer.edu. Mixed Media Audio Zine is about independent music and independent publishing. Thanks for listening.